I slugged Tobo upside the head with all the force I could muster.
"Get out of here!"
When he opened his mouth to argue, I popped him again. I did not want to hear it. I did not want to hear anything, not even a divine revelation. It could wait.
"Goblin! Get your sorry butt in motion! We're out of the way!"
The third wisp impaled itself upon the lance's head. This time the fire crept 2 yards up the shaft, though it did not seem to affect the wood directly. However, this time the lance's head became so hot that shaft of wood in contact with it began to smolder. Goblin started to back down, but another wisp rose and drifted faster than he moved, getting between him and the stair. He thrust at it a few times, but each time he did, it drifted out of reach. It continued to control his path of retreat. I am no sorceress. Despite a life spent in the proximity of wizards and witch women and whatnot, I have no idea how their minds work when they are involved with their craft. So I will never be clear on what thought process led Goblin to make his decision. But from having known the man most of my life, I have to conclude that he did what he did because he believed it was the most effective thing that he could do. Having failed to skewer the wisp, having noted that a second had appeared and had begun to circle him from the opposite direction, the frog-faced little man just whirled, lowered the head of the lance, and charged Kina. He let out a great mad bellow and drove the weapon through the flesh of an arm and into her ribs below her right breast. And just before the weapon struck home, one wisp flung itself in front, trying to block the thrust. The lance's head was ablaze when it pierced demonic flesh. The second wisp set Goblin aflame. Even screaming, telling me to get out, Goblin continued to heave against the lance, driving it deeper into Kina, possibly in some mad, wild hope of penetrating her black heart. The blue flame feasted on Goblin's flesh. He let go of the lance, threw himself to the icy floor, rolled around violently, slapping at himself. Nothing helped. He began to melt like an overheated candle. He screamed and screamed. On that psychic level where I had sensed her moments earlier, Kina also screamed and screamed and screamed. Suvin and Santaraxita screamed, Tobo screamed, I screamed and staggered into the stairwell, retreating despite the urging of that mad part of me that wanted to go back and help Goblin. And there could have been no greater madness than that. The destroyer ruled the cavern of her imprisonment. Goblin had struck a fierce blow, but in truth, its impact was no greater than the nip of a wolf cub at the ear of a dozing tiger. I knew that, and I knew that the cub caught was trying to buy time for the rest of its pack. I gasped.
Tobo! Go ahead as fast as you can! Tell the others!
He was younger. He was faster. He could get there long before I could. He was the future. I would try to keep anything from coming up the stair behind him. The screaming continued down below from both sources. Goblin was being more